Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Hi, JP. How you doing?
Hello. How are you today?
We're doing well.
That's good to hear. I can't believe Baskin and Phelps left a whole pizza in the studio.
Do you think they left the pizza?
No, Baskin did it with the intention of like, this is for you now.
To refute.
Clean up your mess.
I think it's more to refute the idea.
We don't want your pizza.
But every time there's a free food situation, Baskin and Phelps get hammered for it. And I kind of feel like this is like it's not just our free pizza. I think this is an
obligation. This is going to be here tomorrow when Ken shows up in the morning. He's going to lose his mind, which will actually be high comedy for all of us. I was going to remove the pizza myself, and now thinking about Ken getting really mad in the morning, it kind of makes me happy.
I mean, Big Weech isn't working tonight, so we do have some people who aren't usually in there. I don't know it's going to last.
Of course it's not going to. What do you mean? You
meaning,
don't know if it's
like,
going
to
last.
I think people might eat it before it gets to Ken tomorrow morning.
Who's eating this pizza? Now, this is the other side. And
Who's eating this pizza?
Baskin, I'm not mad at you guys for leaving the pizza.
This is a good redirect.
It's more the idea that I've been trying to eat good, and I've only been on like a day and a half of eating good.
Yeah.
And I know you know me well enough to know I only have like 2 or 3 days that I actually eat good, and then we just go off the rails, and it is what it is. Mm-hmm. But for those 2 or 3 days, I'm awesome. And it might throw a wrench in that plan.
Definitely feel, if I'm Baskin right now, I definitely thrown off the scent that you totally took a shot at him to start the show.
He's the enabler is what it is. That's what it is.
Oh no.
He's enabling my dieting and now he's trying to get me to make some bad life decisions here.
I mean, listen, far be it for a fat man to say, I think you're enabling yourself. Hold yourself to a standard here.
I just got to look at that pizza. I got to smell that pizza.
Don't
I got to take in the waft of the pizza the entire time.
We'll get like a tens unit. So every time you sniff it, you can shock yourself a little bit.
Huh? I'm going to shock myself.
Yeah.
I'm a puppy now.
No, I was thinking it was from Dodgeball. Like White Goodman, what he did was he had the pizza right in front of his face and then... he didn't eat the pizza, did he?
Yeah, that was a real way of helping him out.
That sound again?
I'm just saying. I already said it once. I wanted to repeat myself.
I wanted it 3 times.
No, no.
I wanted it 4 times.
No. You're not going to get it because that's the way she goes. But yeah, I commend Baskin and Phelps for sharing their food. This is a new step for them.
Baskin seemed like he'd left us caviar. He was like, I got some more for you guys.
Man's it's all trying right. to build a bridge.
It's all right here. I got it right here for you guys. Just go ahead and just take it.
How quickly this has changed. All of a sudden, you're the shot taker on the show.
It's not,
and
no.
I'm the
you're
peacemaker.
Phrasing it, you're phrasing it as the shot taker, which is a very interesting portrayal. When it's not a shot, it's more the idea that I am trying to eat and do well. And he just
and
happened
Baskin's
to pick the wrong
be aware
day.
Of that?
No, he happened to pick the wrong day. And then he left pizza in here. And it's like, just get the pizza out of here.
216-474-0092. Should Jonathan Peterlin become Jonathan Pizzaland? Should he eat the pizza
us? Let's do a thing. Are you going to eat any of the pizza?
Absolutely not.
No, because you just had pizza last night, and you don't seem like you're interested in that pizza. I'm not interested in that pizza. Mac, you're not interested in that pizza?
No, I already have.
Okay, all right, so Katie's not interested either. I know that because Katie does not really go down that road to begin with anyway.
Here's the difference.
One's touching that pizza.
Except you will.
I will not eat that pizza.
You are interested in that pizza.
I will buy pizza-adjacent things before I eat that pizza.
I
will go downstairs to the bodega and buy a Lunchable, a pizza Lunchable, before I eat that pizza.
I think you were triggered by delicious pizza that is free right in front of you. Still fresh. You can smell. It's still got that new pizza smell. And I think you're triggered right now. And I don't believe you.
I think we both looked at that pizza and saw that's not the type of pizza we want to eat to begin with anyway. And now that pizza is going to sit there till the morning. And then Ken's going to get all upset by it. And he's going to be running around talking about who left this pizza here.
You're snowballing.
I'm not picking up that pizza.
You're picking up that pizza.
I'm not touching that pizza.
It should be said that you're picking up the
pizza. You think I'm going to eat that pizza?
You're not
eating that pizza.
You're not just going to touch the
pizza.
You are going to slowly satisfy that pizza and yourself at the same time.
What world
That's
are we
what's
living
going
in?
On. Don't you dare take it away. Dan, keep it right there.
What a mensch.
Dan, I love you. Keep it right there. Because he is full
Dan,
of it.
You take
he
that pizza.
Full of,
you take that
Dan,
pizza.
Don't you
and
dare
leave.
Take
you
that
take
pizza.
Take that pizza and leave.
Nope. Keep
unless,
that pizza right
unless
damn there.
You think that Ken's going to get mad if we leave him until the morning. That's the only way I want that pizza
to stay.
I'm going
to tell you right now, Dan, he needs this test. Because you, me, and everybody listening know.
I would love to see Ken's face when he sees those 8 slices.
It goes from Jonathan Peterlin to Jonathan Pizzaland in about 3 seconds.
Jonathan Pizzaland?
I'm saying it's happening on this show.
Pizzaland?
All right.
I'll give one extra.
Oh.
He's got no mic in it, actually. I actually heard him loud and clear.
Yeah.
I'm a loud man. What do you want from me? You think this makes it past the night show? Both of you work the night show.
No. I don't think Jake's working tonight.
Yeah, I don't think Jake is working tonight. Somebody is working. I don't think it makes it past Pizzaland. I'm going to say it right now.
I will buy pizza-adjacent things before I touch that pizza.
That's what you tell yourself at 2 o'clock. At 2:30, all of a sudden, you get a rumbly in the tumbly, and all of a sudden, you're going to downtown Pizza Town.
You know me well. I'm not touching that pizza.
You are touching that pizza. You are all over that pizza. All right? You're like Pete Davidson with Kim Kardashian with that pizza.
That wasn't bad.
Here's the thing.
I didn't think you were going to land it. I don't think you thought you were going to land that, and then you did.
Sometimes. We all win occasionally. All right. We're going to keep you up segment by segment today on Peter Lynn and when he gets to this pizza.
I'm not touching that pizza.
Because it is a win. It is not an if. As long as Dan does not go and take pizza out of there. He's wafting it now. That's how we do it.
Oh, my
gosh. It. Waft it real good.
I have the smell of this gross pizza in here for hours.
Oh, God. Gross pizza, he says, 20 minutes before he eats 7 pieces of it. And then it's like, I knew I couldn't do it. With that being said, the Guardians are trending right now.
Yeah. Do you like this hashtag?
Yeah. I don't understand why this hashtag has actually caught fire, because it's the most boring hashtag in the history of hashtags. But
actually, it's the right hashtag for the Guardians in many ways.
It sounds like a bad Seth Rogen film. The promotion?
Yeah, the promotion. Coming to theaters this July.
With James Franco, who's still problematic.
James Franco's in everything.
With Seth Rogen.
Yeah.
And he's problematic.
But they don't even like each other anymore. Apparently, they're like not even friends.
Yeah, turns out you don't treat your co-stars right, and maybe don't treat women right, and Seth Rogen will turn on you.
I never thought James Franco was funny. I like Seth Rogen a lot. James Franco never did anything for
me. Nobody did.
I'm not on an island on that, right?
He was just obscenely good-looking, and Hollywood wanted him.
Yeah, he's not very funny. I don't think he's talented at anything. I don't get the appeal.
Although... Oh gosh, what's the darn movie? With Date Night with Tina Fey and Steve Carell. He's a very funny small role in that, but because he's just a bad actor. That said, the promotion is trending right now because Guardians fans have had it up to here. I'm putting it over my head for those of you who can't watch this right now.
Yeah,
Had it up to here with the fact that Chase DeLauter nor CJ Kafis is in Cleveland as of yet.
Well, and so we all waited, right? David Sampson came on and was like, June 17th. That's the date you got to wait for the Super 2 and everything to come and play with that. June 17th. You get past that, and it's wide open. You can go ahead and bring them up, and you'll have no worries financially. It's not going to do anything in that regard. Now that's been a week, and we've been sitting here and we're waiting, watching really bad right field play, really bad two-hole play, and you have answers down there in the minors, and I think Guardians fans have a big right to be mad at what's going on right now.
I just feel like, so not to completely diminish the hashtag and the intent behind it, because I'm certainly not going to complain if Chase DeLauter's here tomorrow, today, or anywhere in the very near future. It does feel like we're just jumping around on things to bitch about, though, right? Like, we started with Dolan's is cheap because the offseason, whatnot. That now they've started to win again. Now it's, okay, now we got to move to the prospect thing. All of these, by the way, have a valid roots in their argument.
Well, listen, I'll take a call up the prospects. Let's complain about that over a week and a half ago when people wanted to trade J-Ram.
Oh, yeah.
This is a much better.
We're in the right direction. That's a great point.
I think we're moving towards the idea of like, oh, this team can actually like do something. Where if you call up DeLauter, who mashes, if you call up Kafis, who currently is mashing, all of a sudden you have yourselves a couple nice at-bats in there. And this is a team with the pitching and the way they've been recently, one of the best starting rotations in the whole month of June in baseball, which isn't saying much because we're still... June's almost done. It is saying much. But you have a chance here, Nick. You have a real opportunity. I'm not saying a World Series team, but let's not lay down and die.
So the only... I think something complicating
this is support for this Guardians team.
Yeah, again, we're talking about a young team relying on a rookie to come save it. We already have enough young hitters floundering at the big league level. I don't think DeLauter would. Kafis might. But I think, so that's one element of this. I do think there's something complicating this. You have a math problem in this lineup where you're trying to get the lineup going while finding meaningful at-bats for two veterans who are very clearly not in regular season form, and Lane Thomas and David Fry. And you're trying to get rookies going, young players going.
I have no commitment to Lane Thomas at this point in the slightest bit. There's a reason why everyone's suggesting that he'll be traded and won't be on the roster past a certain date. I owe Lane Thomas nothing at this point.
No, I think Lane's the wrong guy. I think it's David Fry.
Well, David Fry's the interesting conversation. And right now he has not hit. He can only do DH because of his injury. But he hasn't hit enough. Like, I'm sorry. You don't get to keep your job based off of one great half of baseball last year.
Now, can we all admit, they thought, okay, he's coming off the elbow injury. He's going to come back and he's going to save the day. Like, he was kind of a Hail Mary from the front office, right?
Yeah.
Because if everybody realized where he was in his rehab, you would have just optioned him to Columbus. Not under the guise of he's not good enough. It's just you need to get your feet wet, and then you can come up when you're ready.
And at the time when they did that, they were worried about the Super 2, and they were worried about the financial implications of all that stuff. And so they brought David Fry up with the idea that this could maybe satisfy the lineup and fix the lineup in many ways. So guess what? It hasn't. And we're past the date that you have to worry about. Get DeLauder up here. If you have to wait on Kafis, I'm fine with it. But DeLauder should be playing.
I just think with Lane Thomas and David Fry struggling alongside, meaning like they just needed bats, and you're already having problems getting them at bats because you have too many guys in this roster you're trying to play on. I can't get back-to-back days of Kyle Manzardo. So it's a little tough for me to DeLauder, hashtag the promotion. It's really tough to go to harden the paint on this one. Because I just need certain guys to get every day at bats at this point, and that's not even happening.
Yeah, it's really not for me when you just look at the outfield, and I'll find a lot of the at bats. Kafis is harder to find the at bats for. I get that. Manzardo, Santana, there's a logjam there, and I know they've been trying him out in the outfield and trying to get that going. I don't know that that's going to translate. I have no idea. But the only concern you have with DeLauder is if you bring him up and he turns out to just be your buddy Byron Buxton, essentially. That's what he's been
put some respect on
his entire baseball career. He's been Cleveland's Byron Buxton.
He's a three-war player.
He's an awesome player. Everyone loves watching him play. No one questions his talent, but man can't stay healthy.
When somebody brings his name up in trade conversations, we duke all over that man.
The man can't stay healthy. That's Buxton and DeLauder. I'm talking about the same person. It's the Spider-Man meme. But that's the same storyline with each. But as of right now, DeLauder is healthy. I want to see him play, Nick. I'm tired of it.
One thing I would say,
get him up here.
I'm ambivalent about this. When it comes up, I'll be excited for it. But I'm not pounding down the door for it because I don't expect him to save the season either. One thing I would say is, if he's going to get hurt, I'd rather get 3 games of him in Cleveland and then he gets hurt than another 3 games in Columbus and he gets hurt. I know, such a dumb...
You want the fanfare of it all?
No, I just want to be able to say, well, at least we know he's major league ready. It's an endorsement.
He's
from
major league ready. I'll tell you right now.
But no,
we don't
no.
need to hear it. We don't need anything else. He's major league ready.
But it does. You and I both think that. But it doesn't matter until that organization shows that he's ready.
He's ready.
They're the
call
ones,
him up.
They're the
what
ones
are we
holding
on?
Him back.
What are we waiting on?
Maybe a nice little 260 hitter, maybe a Luis Robert trade
if
Anthony Elant and Mac Robinson get their way.
I saw that pop up again on ESPN. Thank you, Jeff Passan.
What was he, the 17th prospect?
I think it was
19th.
But they definitely put the Guardians in there with the list of teams.
Yeah, well, everyone should be lining up for a 111 hitter.
Mac goes shifty eyes. I want to, Nick should read you that in between the break. Not on the air, because no one needs to hear it. But in between the break, what they had to say about him and just be like, that's your walk-off moment.
216-474-0092. At Nick Wilson says, at Jay Peterlin on social media reactions on X, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Robert asking for video of you and me arguing over pizza. Bove on Twitter saying, I am the pizza devil on JP's shoulder. Mm. And Jared saying, just eat pizza. One slice won't hurt. One tiny, itsy, bitsy slice is okay. He's right.
He knows what you know about me is I can't have just one slice.
Yes, you can.
It doesn't work that way.
Yes,
I'm great.
Internal strength.
I'm great until I'm not. And when I'm not, oh boy, am I not.
But you're great right now. So
that's why we
got to
keep the good times going.
Well, you can keep, come on, you can do both.
This is it's like crack for me, man. Just one little taste is enough. That's enough. It's a slippery slope.
I don't think you've had enough crack to substantiate that comment.
You're right. I've never had crack. If only I could talk to Rob Ford and figure out what it's like.
May he rest in crack. Quick hits coming up at 2:40. We got John Fanta At 4 o'clock, we've got Albert Breer at 520-216-474-0092. Hashtag the promotion is trending. Guardians fans are taken to social media to put pressure on the Guardians to promote thine prospects. Why are the Guardians not calling up their prospect and Jose Ramirez's place in the Guardians deadline approach in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan? It's right in front of you.
But it looks so bad.
No, it doesn't. Yes, it looks does. Like pizza.
It doesn't look like look good bad. Pizza. No, it looks bad.
Pizza can't look bad.
And that's part of the part of the problem I have is that I'm going to throw away all the good eating that I've done for a whopping day and a half now. We're just going to throw that all away.
That's 36 hours. What are we even thinking about?
Right down the drain. And you know, I mean, I spiral. So once I have one bad piece of pizza, I'm going to have like 12 bad pieces of pizza. And then I'm going to like get candy on the ride home. Yeah, and yeah, then I'll eat already, ice cream tonight.
If you do a Lunchable, aren't you effectively just doing... And as an unhealthy version of pizza?
No, Lunchables have like 250 total calories. They're okay. Like they're snack size essentially, and that's it. That's in and out. 250 is not bad. My sandwich that I have has got to be around 250. So I think we're all right. But I'm tempting fate with this pizza even being here. And I know that the problem that is going to happen is when I get ready to pay for something downstairs at the bodega.
I think
because I'm very frugal, and so we're balancing out frugal versus my actual health, and frugal always wins.
I think the problem is when you get that itty bitty thing in front of you,
easy
and
now.
You start nipping on it. You know, oh, I'm going to take a little bit. It's good. It's two pizza adjacent. It's going to be your gateway drug.
No,
this is marijuana to your crack.
I look at pizza like the Pringles can. Once I pop, I don't stop. That's it. That's it right here. Once we get going, it's just we're on to the races.
Yeah, I think you're about to pop and go nonstop. If you know what I mean.
Not happening. We are both together. This should be looked at like a brothers in arms type moment.
Yeah.
Where we're both locked in on not touching this pizza that doesn't even look appetizing.
Because this is a great show for brothers in arms kind of thing. Yeah. We definitely don't pit each other against each other, or we don't have one member of our support staff closely linked with one side. Yeah, we definitely don't do that.
No.
Yeah, this is basically Band of Brothers minus the shooting.
Good that's, brothers that's in arms moment. Hey, you got to build it somewhere, right?
That's true.
This is the start.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, because not
maybe
until
we walk it in over pizza, and then maybe tomorrow we're walking in with the idea that Mac is competent at his job. You know, because like I'm on that side of the fence. I just don't know where you stand right now.
I was about to say, JP, don't eat that pizza. But you know what? Maybe I won't.
Yeah. You know what?
I'm just reiterating what the stances are.
Yeah. I think that's a different way of thinking. I don't think Mac would agree with you there. But listen, we do look forward to JP eating
fun.
The pizza. Now, we're talking about the Gardos. Hashtag the promotion is trending. I still hate the hashtag.
Yeah.
Can't we come up with, I mean, Dolan's is cheap. Started like a decade ago and it still lives on in infamy. The promotion again just sounds like a bad movie, but this does bring us to a conversation I think is very fair to have with the deadline coming up, because I think we've already had people say do right by Jose and trade him because they lost a couple series in a row and conveniently forgetting we were in the ALCS last year. I do think it's interesting that there's this growing buzz that Jose should be involved in some way, and the Guardians approach to the deadline.
All right, so what are we talking about? Are we talking about within the Cephas-DeLauder conversation, or are we talking about, like, Duran and Ozuna conversation?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Meaning, like, if you're going to make a big deal one way or another, you have to run it by him. So if you're going to trade for a big piece, hey, Jose, what do you think about this guy? If you're going to trade a big piece, Jose, we beg you, may we trade this piece?
I mean, wouldn't Jose just be in the camp of do everything you possibly can at this point?
I bet you. I actually think Jose knows ball.
Because like, he's not shy of sharing the spotlight or anything like that. I mean, he did it with Lindor for so many years. If anybody could play a Robin to someone's Batman, he knows how to do that. And he's not playing Robin to Marcelo Zuna's Batman. That's not reality.
Yeah, but what was his reaction last year when they traded for Lane Thomas? Who?
That was a genuine moment. I think we all had that same reaction as well. A lot of us.
Okay.
You called him Lemon Law Lane, but like a lot of us were like, Lane Thomas, that's what you're doing?
I called him Lemon Law Lane because he hit 170 until September.
I think Jose only gets mad if you basically sit on your hands and do nothing. I think he gets angry if you in age 32 in a season where he's going to finish top 10 in the MVP voting, if you just kind of sit back and say like, no, we're good here.
I don't think Jose gets mad. I think Jose just goes and does what Jose does every day, which is go to work.
If anything, I wish he did show more emotion on this stuff. Well, I wish he did kind of go up to the Guardians front office and say, hey, I need you to do this.
So that's more...
Put some pressure on
that's
him.
That's a more genuine point than everyone trying to push their emotions on Jose. Like, I view the people who are like, Jose needs to go in. You know Jose's going to be mad if they don't make a deal. It's like, we have no evidence of that. We have no evidence either way. You are projecting your frustrations on him, which we don't need to do. He's happy here. They're happy he's here. Why are we creating something out of thin air? Because we're just a little upset. And I'm not even going to throw myself into that. That you're just a little upset about the direction of the team.
But it's interesting. He does get that little bit of a... It's not a Peterlin pass, but he gets a little bit of a pass from the fans about that idea that, like, Nick Chubb, for instance, for years, Nick Chubb was just the consummate professional, but Nick Chubb also wasn't going into the management's... going to Andrew Berry's, you know, office and saying, hey... Do this. Make this trade. Make this deal. And we all love Nick Chubb for it. We're never like, you need to be more of a leader. You need to do more of this. And Jose, in many ways, gets that same kind of pass where we just kind of accept the idea that he's not going to go into Antonetti and Chernoff's office and say, you need to do this and you're wasting or you're not doing right by me in any sort of way.
Yeah.
We just don't do that.
Because I don't think players in baseball have the same power that like Nick Chubb would even have in the NFL or Myles Garrett would have in the NFL.
And they certainly don't have the power that NBA players have either. We want to bring those guys in the discussion.
Yeah, I mean, that's a whole different level. That's unparalleled power to a point that even fans are like, well, I like these guys having power, but maybe not this much power. I just think, listen, if you're going to make a big swing, and that can look a lot, that can look like, gosh, that can look like Duran from Boston. That can look like Ozuna. There's a couple other names from a Jeff Passan article that we'll get to. I want Jose to know if that guy's worth what you're going to give up for him. Like, hey, is this a player you think makes us better? Because I think Jose just knows ball. The opposite, though, hey, we're going to trade Emmanuel Clase. I'm not giving him veto power. No, the next 12 months is so important that because Jose's not going to be like, yeah, please trade Emmanuel Clase, trade Carlos, trade Lane Thomas. He's not going to say yes, or he's not going to be like, that's the greatest idea I've ever heard. He might be willing to veto that, and I just think the next 12 months and how they reorganize this roster around Jose are critical to them having another little run here in the next 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, no question. I'm fascinated to find out if you say he wouldn't have a say with Class A, I agree with that. And I think that just kind of speaks to baseball in general, though, is that a lot of these guys, like, it's not my department almost. You know, you look at it like that's relievers, that's the bullpen. I'm not really even touching that. But he'd know the value of adding a big-time bat in that lineup, and he'd know the value it adds to him. Like, right now, he's not protected by just about anybody. That two-hole is one of the worst two-holes in all of baseball. Imagine if we had a real guy in the two-slot that was protecting in between Kwan and then J-Ram in the three-hole. Imagine what that would do, not only to
like
his numbers.
Byron Buxton, maybe?
Yeah, well, Buxton can't stay healthy. We went over this yesterday.
You think Jose cares about that?
But if you had someone with the Buxton talent that could actually stay on the field, if you had someone like that in the two-hole, imagine what that would do to the numbers that are already great for Jose as it is. It would only elevate him. So there's got to be a part of him that thinks to himself how much harder his job is because you have no one in the two spot.
Yeah, I think Jose's been around enough to know that sometimes it's not your year and how the organization's going to operate in that moment. Like, I don't think you re-sign on a sweetheart of all sweetheart deals, a team-friendly hometown discount. I don't think you do that unless you understand, hey, there's going to be some years where we kind of are middling or this, that, and the other, and they're not going to make a big move because it just doesn't make sense.
Well, there's a part of me that's always wondered if in the Antonetti and Chernoff, if you told them a couple years ago, a few years ago, when Lindor was getting ready for free agency, you can keep one and only one, part of me wondered if they would have always chosen J-Ram because of the passive nature that he naturally has. Lindor, I don't think, would have settled for the way that J-Ram just kind of seems like he just kind of goes with the flow and just kind of goes with whatever they put out in the field and says, this is what I have to do. Like, by all accounts, Lindor in New York is, he's very involved in what they do and what they say.
I don't think they would have chosen Lindor for other reasons, and it's not about Hosey's go-with-the-flow attitude. I think it's because Hosey...
I think it would have been part of it.
I think the biggest thing is Hosey's an incredible part of their locker room and is a big reason why they've had consistent culture.
So was Lindor, though. Lindor was awesome in the locker room, and Lindor was great in the locker room, like up and down. Like, he did that. He does this thing in New York that everyone raves about, every single game, he goes after each individual player, and he goes up and gives them constant affirmations. Like, and when he was here, he was great with those guys.
Frankie's got an ego that Hosey doesn't have, though. And I think that is something that
he was very
play.
Beloved in that locker room, though. He was very, very beloved.
Talk to Jason Kipnis.
I have.
Yeah, have you heard what Lindor said about Kipnis and vice versa?
Yeah, in recent years, we've had a couple different things, but I was in those clubhouses in those moments. Like, that was about as close of a bond as you could possibly find. Like, Lindor was beloved in that locker room.
Listen, we're way off topic here, but I just think the point is, I think it's unfair to Hosey to be like, well, he's here because he just kind of goes with the flow. No, he's here because he wanted to be here and he took a hometown discount to do so.
No, not saying go with the flow, but I do think it makes it easier for Antonetti and Chernoff. And I think if we were pitting the two of them together and you said you get to only choose one of them, I think J-Ram, like, one of the pluses in the plus minus category would have been on the J-Ram side of things. We can do whatever we need to do, and we're never going to hear him knocking on our doorstep saying, this needs to change.
Whereas Hosey,
I couldn't promise that with Lindor.
I want Hosey to have the, this is this guy, this is what I like about this guy, this is how this guy fits our lineup. I think he can give you great baseball acumen. Do I want him, and honestly, if there's a guy he really doesn't want to play with, I probably do want to hear that at this deadline, but I'm not giving him the, hey, you can't trade Emmanuel Clase veto powers. I might be splitting hairs there, but that's, if you're going to involve Hosey in the deadline conversation, he's earned it, and we love Hosey, and I think he's brilliant when it comes to baseball. That's where I want him.
I just don't think he's even asking for it. I agree with you. I wouldn't involve him in the Class A discussions, but I think part of J-Ram is he's not really even asking for the conversation.
216-474-0092. Should Jose Ramirez have a say in the Guardians' direction at the deadline? And a new name has emerged for the Cleveland Guardians in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
From the latest news and rumors around the sports world, to the sound bites you need to hear, hurry. It's Quick Hits.
ESPN has ranked their top 50 potential trade deadline candidates, which includes Emmanuel Clase at number 13. A little low for my liking. As for the players linked to the Guardians, a lot of familiar names, but the new name attached to the Guardians is Rangers right fielder Adelis Garcia. Would he be a game changer for this lineup?
I don't know about game changer. He's not played particularly well this season. I know a lot of people are suggesting that his numbers in the past month or so has gotten a little bit better and corrected itself. But he's been on a little bit of a downward spiral, in my opinion. So no, I don't look at him as the type of guy that would correct this. I'd look at this as just an okay move at best.
So last year he was just not very good. This year he's actually a little bit better. He also happens to be, I was looking at the luck based numbers, and he's like the 17th least lucky player in baseball, which I think puts him far ahead of Nolan Jones. I do think Adelis Garcia and Nolan Jones would be great in right field for you. And then you could even have Nolan maybe even float to center field with a platoon if Garcia started hitting.
I mean, it's really hard. Last year, it's really hard to have 25 homers and slug 400 on the dot.
No, it is, but so this is my version of Luis Robert. I think this would be less expensive, both financially and prospect base.
Yeah.
And I think a new situation he might benefit from, because he is still, I mean, he's pure power from the right side, which is what you need.
I think at this point he is way more name than game. Oddly enough, it's exactly the type of move that I could see the Guardians making, because it feels very Guardians in the previous few years.
That felt personal.
Well, their trades at the deadline feel very personal to me watching these games these years.
If only Lane Thomas had come through in the playoffs for them.
Man, Lemon Wall Lane, how about it? They do find a way. Celtics trading Drew Holiday to the Trailblazers. obviously there's a lot of financial implications attached to this, and that's part of the reason why Boston is getting out of it, getting out of the Drew Holiday business. Did this move do anything for you in a late night splash across the NBA?
Yeah, it pissed me off.
Why is that?
Why is the NBA, why is Portland bailing out Drew Holiday? Or sorry, why is Portland bailing out Boston? The kind of money this saves, it does not get Boston below the second apron. This is a huge first step into them reducing salary, saving them money. And by the way, Anthony Simons is not the same player Drew is. He's still a really nice NBA player.
Well, I actually think Simons in this part for Boston is really interesting. In a year that they won't have Tatum, I think Simons can actually do a lot of what they would want in an absence of Tatum.
It's the perfect spot for him to go in.
Again,
there.
He's a perfect Missoula ball type player because he can shoot the three.
And he's also a 1 year glow up. And a year from now, you move on from him again.
Yeah.
Like it's just, I don't know what Portland's thinking. At no point should Portland, and I know they were actually better than expected last year, but at no point should you trade for a 35-year-old with three more years in his contract of Herculean, without getting a first round pick or getting picks in return. I'm incensed by this. Like, there's no organization. There are two organizations in basketball who get bailed out by stupid organizations around basketball consistently, historically. The Lakers, thank you for James Worthy, by the way, Mr. Ted Stepien, and the Boston Celtics. Oh, Drew Holiday, he won you a championship 2 years ago. Hell yeah, I'll pay him $50 million a year for the next 3 years.
I like that of all the Lakers getting bailed out references, you'd bypassed Luka to go for big game James Worthy.
I've never forgotten it. Happened before I was born. I've never gotten over it. Yeah. My first words.
You were a twinkle in your daddy's eye, and you're like, what's happening?
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The first two words were F. Stepien.
That's right.
Because of James Worthy. Omaha! Comedian Shane Gillis will, it has been announced, will host the 2025 ESPYs. I almost said ESPN ESPYs. That would have been dumb. On Wednesday, July 16th.
Yeah.
Is this a good fit, and does this make you more likely to watch the ESPYs?
I'll watch it. I like Shane. I like Tyres. Have you seen Tyres, a show on Netflix?
I haven't.
It's funny. I think it's a show that you would enjoy because it doesn't take itself entirely too serious. It just makes a lot of jokes, and it just tries to have a good time. It also goes for a little bit of the... It only goes for a little raunchy humor as well, which is up your alley.
And you think I like that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I know you. Yeah.
I'm a pillar of the community.
Did you read Shane Gillis's press release, by the way? It was really funny to me. Only because it was the worst press release ever, but it was just like, I like sports, so this should be a good fit.
Yeah. I think that was the bit.
I know, and I laughed. I thought it was funny.
It's a good fit, but the ESPYs are terrible. And I'm probably going to hate watch this.
I don't watch the ESPYs in general, but you need to have a strong host. Like, isn't that clip of Norm Macdonald that always goes viral every year of him hosting the ESPYs and just torching everyone? Like, yeah. Like Shane Gillis could do that. That's on the table for him.
And I got to give Shane actually credit. Usually when a comedian goes through this kind of moment, we get him pushed so hard on us that we all are like, good for the love of God, stop this. Dane Cook, if you please. Kevin James, if you please.
Matt Rife.
I got it. Oh, my God, that talentless but very attractive young man. See, he's 10% hotter because he's good looking. It's 10% funnier. I landed the damn plane. The point is, good on Shane Gillis. I'll give it a shot. I'm probably going to hate it because it's the ESPYs.
Who do you want to hear him go after the most? The only problem I'd have is if he just made a bunch of Belichick jokes, because I feel like those are tired and played out. Like Norm's bit that went very viral to this day is him going after, like, OJ.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, who do you want to see Shane just go after? Because he doesn't care about the sports world the way that we have to care about the sports world. He can just drop that bomb and leave. Like Nikki Glaser style. Just go in and just hammer people.
All of them.
All of them.
I want him to hammer all of them. Omaha!
Joy Taylor. I don't know that she's going to get hammered by Shane Gillis, but I'd watch. Credits Angel Reese's viral moment for Caitlin Clark's stardom. This is on Joy's podcast.
The Magic Johnson, Larry Bird moment for the WNBA. Like, this is great. You need villains. I think you need heroes. Mm-hmm. It upset white men to watch this strong, winning, unapologetic black woman be in their, you know, be in Caitlin's face.
In their savior's face.
Yeah. And we would not be talking about Caitlin Clark the way that we do if it wasn't for that moment with Angel Reese.
You know, I'm a big WNBA fan, Nick. I can't even say it with a straight face. But like, I know this is ridiculous to suggest that Angel Reese is the reason why Caitlin Clark is a star.
We're getting to a point where it's actually insulting to Caitlin Clark. Can everybody in the media and the WNBA let them know? Can we let everybody know it's okay to like Caitlin Clark?
# let them know.
And that we don't have to have 6 or 7 insidious conversations. And Angel Reese is a clout chaser. And by the way, a good WNBA player, which means that if they expand this thing to 20 teams or 25 teams, I have no doubt that she'll be an NBA player for a very long time. This is Sleepy Floyd versus Larry Bird. It's not Magic versus Larry Bird. And I think the way Joy talked about her, and listen, I appreciate that Joy is always willing to speak her mind, does a great job on her podcast, does a great job on Fox Sports. We salute you for your, but this is incredibly dismissive of what Caitlin has done. This won't be, no. Angel Reese has ingratiated herself in a feud with Caitlin Clark to get herself over with WNBA fans, which is fine, do it. But let's not turn this into Magic versus Bird. Angel Reese isn't good enough.
Well, it's not even that part of it's not even Magic versus Bird, because that would suggest that Magic made Bird or that Bird made Magic. One of them made the other. And in this instance, like, Angel Reese did no part of making Caitlin Clark. Caitlin Clark would have been a star if Angel Reese never existed.
They also don't play the same position, which I think was a huge part of Magic versus Bird. Like, I know Magic was a point forward versus Larry being maybe a true small forward or power forward later in his career. I think they don't play on the same spot in the court.
Well, and they did play
That's
against each
Paige
other.
That's why Paige Beckers makes more sense.
They did
That's
play
why,
against each other in the national title game. Right? Where wasn't Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese just the final four?
I actually think we have to go to senior WNBA correspondent Mac Robinson on this
in
one.
In a world of novice WNBA coverage,
cut me off.
There's only one expert with the skills, knowledge, and information to break down the biggest stories of a league where the lights are the brightest and the basketball is the best. Here's Afternoon Drive's senior WNBA correspondent, Mac Robinson.
I know you're chomping at the bit here because this is your forte. This is your expertise. What do you have there?
Yeah, Angel Reese isn't even the best big on her own team. Camilla Cardoza is even better than Angel Reese there.
And that for data.
And you can see the fact that, like, when Angel Reese is trying to post up and you see Cardoza wide open with her arms up, and then she just throws her arms up and walks down to the other side of the court because she knows that Angel's going to miss the layup anyway.
Okay, but not the conversation. But it's not the conversation we're having. Joy is suggesting that Angel Reese made Caitlin Clark, and Caitlin Clark would not be Caitlin Clark if not for the viral moment that happened in Caitlin Clark's junior year.
This would be like saying Earl Watson made Joy Taylor. Ooh, no one.
Oh, Mac didn't want to touch it.
Mac, yeah, throw him under the bus.
Mac didn't want to touch
it. You practically moved away from the microphone.
Listen, I've said like 7 problematic things in this segment already. I figured I'd sit that one out.
Omaha! There's a video going around on social media of an Amtrak car traveling from D.C. to Boston. When it lost its power, it was stuck in a tunnel in an Amtrak car, no AC, and no update of when it would get fixed. How long in this scenario before Jonathan Peterlin would completely lose his ever-loving mind?
Hold a John Fanta there.
I did.
When we went to Disney, we got stuck in the It's a Small World ride for 20 minutes.
That's pretty funny.
And it just played It's a Small World over and over again. And about 15 minutes in, that's when I lost my mind. So I would imagine it wouldn't be too far beyond that.
To me, it's the AC. If you had AC, and I'd be like, I'll kick it here. I can charge my phone. Anyway, you didn't have power, so I couldn't charge my phone. I'll play whatever word games they have in my phone. I'll kick my feet up.
So there's no AC. You're just stuck on the train.
You're just stuck on the train with no chance again, with no ability to get off, and no understanding when it'll move again.
I've had this with airplanes. I have planed and then deplaned, but been on airplanes for a couple hours. I had one stretch where it was all day. It was getting on planes to sit there for 2 hours to then deplane, and that happened 3 or 4 times in that day. There's nothing crazier than being in a mode of transportation and not actually transporting.
Unless I have somewhere I have to be, your boy can just hang out. The lack of air would absolutely, because eventually you get that stale air thing, that would probably make me start to twitch a little bit, but by and large, unless I got someplace I have to be.
Don't you always have someplace you have to be, though?
I mean, the great thing is at some point I can just tell Vanessa, I mean, I'm in a train, babe. I don't know what I can do here.
Now, the real question is, at what point do you ditch the train and then get off and try to like Uber home or find another mode of transportation home?
I mean, if you're in an Amtrak between D.C. and Boston, can you ditch it?
Yeah, why not?
Because you got to walk in the tunnel. That sounds terrifying to me. That would give me anxiety.
Well, the whole thing isn't a tunnel. It's not just one tunnel from D.C.
I'm aware of that, but the tunnels they do have stretch a considerable amount of time. Or time, space, distance. That's the word.
When's the last time you took an Amtrak?
The year was 2017.
Is that right? Okay.
I don't know. It was like 3 years ago.
Yeah. Train rides are fun. I used to take the one to Chicago from here, and it would leave at like 3 a.m. The only time you could leave was like 3 a.m. And it was awful. I had someone fall asleep on my shoulder on an Amtrak.
Oh, that sounds like the kind of thing you would hate.
Yeah.
Like, depending on who it is, if it was like another morbidly obese man, I probably would. But like, I've had little kids fall asleep on my shoulder on not just my little kids, other people's little kids. I've had grown women fall asleep on my shoulder. I know it's not sounding great. The point is, it never really bugged me. It was like, yeah, I'll be your shoulder. It doesn't bug me. But if it was another dude, it probably would be like, get the hell off me. I'm not cuddling with you. I'm a real man.
It's guy's guy move right there. Tyrese Halliburton, I'm playing through his calf strain, says, quote, I would do it again. So for all the people that spent yesterday on Sports Talk being like, he shouldn't have done it. He regrets it. Not the case. Tyrese, he was tweeting from his hospital room, which I always think is a weird thing. He had like this photo of him doing like a thumbs up as he's got his...
Wait, he can't go walking down the hall for some suds.
I know, but it's so odd. I get it. It documents where you are, but it was a little strange. But he says he would do it again.
Yeah, of course he would. It was game 7.
It's the right time to do it again.
People
got in a legitimate argument about this yesterday, like debating whether or not game 7 was. It's like game 7 is the only time it's not even a question.
Okay, the NBA Finals, when you have a reasonable chance to win, that's the time when you do this. Right on Twitter saying, any update on the pizza at any moment? It is going to happen.
I mean, I'm getting hungrier.
I can hear his stomach rumbling from here. Radu, don't you wait. Don't you worry. It's going to happen, and it's going to happen relatively soon.
It's not happening.
The harder you fight, the more it's going to happen. Softness and Shedeur Sanders in the same sentence in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.